producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Length reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. You are now listening to the second hour of the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. Al and myself are chatting with the founder and president of Mermican Capital, based out of New York, Dan Oliver. Dan, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So, Dan, I want to kick off this segment by chatting about the relationships between the markets, both domestically and internationally. It really seems like recently that if, let's say, the European markets were up one day, that the U.S. markets then quickly follow in the open and open up, and vice versa. If the international markets, being Europe or China, are down, it seems like the U.S. markets follow that. I guess this is just a sign of how connected all the markets are. But why do you think this has become just the continuing trend?
Yeah, well, I think the global credit markets are what link all these markets together. If you think about it, with the free flow of capital, capital can go where it will in an open market, in a free market. When one country is yielding more than another country, capital will leave the low-yielding country and go to the high-yielding country. And this has been going on for hundreds of years. It's nothing new. If you look back at the 19th century, especially when England was the hegemonic financial power, whenever interest rates got too low in England, the British capitalists would take their capital and invest it offshore in emerging markets like Argentina and Australia and places like that. Investors over the centuries have discovered that it's very easy to deploy your capital into emerging markets. It's not always very easy to get it back. Most capital goes and they build fixed assets in these places, usually on the basis of a big credit boom. And so, again, when you make the investment, everything's rosy, and then all of a sudden things collapse and you can't get your capital out. And then what happens is all the domestic investors start losing money, and they start having to sell other assets in the home market, and then you get a banking crisis. And this cycle has been going on, again, for hundreds of years. All the Great Depression was that same cycle on a much larger scale. Of course, it happened in the 80s. U.S. banks in Mexico. This is a perennial story. It's just playing out the exact same way today. I mean, think about a place like Brazil, which was a darling of investors for a long time because of its commodity wealth and that commodity capacity based out of China. And now, of course, Brazil is a disaster because those commodities aren't worth anything. All of a sudden, all the investments in those commodity assets are worthless. I was stunned to discover, I hadn't been following it, that Petrobras, the Brazilian oil company, sold 100-year bonds this latest July. This year, investors lined up and lent their money for 100 years. I mean, it's absolutely insane. But that shows you what happens at the peak, the madness at the peak of a global credit cycle.
You brought in Petrobras there, which I want to move this discussion a little bit also and relate it to the global commodities. Looking at the CRB, the commodity index, which is made up of about 19 different commodities, we just saw that in the last 2 months break the low back in 2009, which I guess is showing just another sign of how tough or the slowdown in the economies around the world. Because now that we are so connected, looking at the commodity complex, I think does point or show just what is going on underneath the markets. Even though the markets might be going up, the use of commodities does usually show exactly what's happening in manufacturing.
Well, that's right. Again, let's go back very simply. When you have credit creation by the fractional reserve system creating credit left and right, what it does is it reduces interest rates, and that primarily increases the value of very long-term assets. Very long-term assets like ships and buildings and so on and so forth are the kinds of assets that demand commodities. And you see this most virulently in China when they build all these crazy fixed assets investments. According to the World Bank, the percentage of Chinese GDP dedicated to fixed asset investment is higher now than it was in the Great Leap Forward. That's when Mao told everyone to stop farming, start building cement plants, and they all starve to death because there's no food to eat. So they've taken that model and they've made it even worse. So that's what's been driving the commodity cycle, and that has come to an end. There simply isn't enough wealth left to keep building these things, especially because ultimately they have absolutely no value. The 20th ghost city has no value, and it's expensive to build. So at some point that model blows up, and that's what's happening right now. And again, what's happening, the transmission mechanism is that because China isn't demanding commodities the way it was, because it simply can't, because it wasted all the ones that it bought before. It puts commodity producers underwater because commodities are priced at the margin, and that affects the lenders into commodities. And Wall Street for the past year has assumed that credit weakness would be contained in the commodity sector. But what's happening just in the last few months is that is now contagion into other sectors. There was a report by Bank of America recently and Deutsche Bank talking about this very topic, which is that the credit turmoil that has been heretofore was in the oil space and the commodity space is now leaking into the healthcare space and other non-related spaces. And it's the whole global credit cycle going into reverse. And the idea that in the context of this happening, that the Fed is going to tighten conditions is absolutely insane. It's a joke. It's really contrary to what they're supposed to do. But, of course, the reason they want to do it is to rein in out-of-control asset markets and to show they can. But the reality is lots of people have been saying, including myself, but also Ray Dalio now and other sort of luminaries like that, is that the next big move by the Fed is going to be QE4, not tightening. They might tighten a little bit, but the next big move is going to be QE4.
I have a tendency to slightly agree with you, but why do you think that will be the next move as opposed to tightening?
Well, again, this goes back to a bigger topic, which is that I believe, I mean, it seems obvious to me, that the Austrian economic model is the one that works. You look at the world since 1980, and the interest rates fall, and that creates a big bubble. Then interest rates rise, and the bubble starts to collapse, and the Fed runs in and saves the day. I mean, investors I talk to, mainstream investors, all say, well, yeah, maybe the market will dump, 2,000 or 3,000 points, but it'll bounce back because it always does. And the answer is yes, it always has. But why has it? Has it just bounced back because it just naturally does that? That's what it does? Or is there an external factor that causes it to bounce back? And if you look at those periods of weaknesses, the external factor is Fed intervention. And that's exactly what the Austrian economic theory tells you must happen, that as rates go lower and you get these bigger and bigger malinvestments, that the only way to keep them solvent is to keep rates falling. Not just the same, they have to keep it falling, because they have to keep projecting a signal that savings exist that don't. And at some point you get to the end of the cycle and you wind up either with a huge deflationary collapse, as you've got in the 30s, or you get hyperinflation. Or maybe it's not hyperinflation, Weimar style, at least inflation 70 style, that devalues all these financial assets because the price level goes up so much and they stay the same. And that's where we are. And the Fed is now at this point where it's become time to sustain these overcapacities, malinvestments, to lower rates. And the only way to lower rates now is to print huge amounts of money. And so that's what's next on the Fed's plate, whether they know it or not. And, of course, the big chatter, correctly so, is that in the last plot graph they do where the Fed governors say where rates are going, one of them was negative, right? So here they are talking about raising rates, and at least one of the Fed, voting Fed governors, predicts that rates are going to go negative next year, which, of course, is probably going to happen, either in real or nominal terms. Of course it's going to happen, or else the consequences is a total unwind of the credit markets and the malinvestments in a Great Depression.
What's that going to do in your mind for the U.S. economy?
Well, I mean, again, what Great Depressions are a writing off of overcapacity and a rebirth. And it's a very painful thing for all the people who have invested their capital in these malinvestments. That includes pension funds and stock pickers and everything else. Interestingly, the primary beneficiaries of a credit market collapse are, of course, are workers, because workers are the people who are most when credit expands. All the wealth gets focused at the top, and then you get people like Hillary Clinton running around trying to tax the people at the top, i.e. trying to go after the symptom of the credit bubble, as opposed to fixing its cause, which is the bank system, drawings in the bank system. And so when it collapses, at first unemployment goes up because all the malinvestments have to fire everyone, and then if the government doesn't intervene, overnight the economy recovers and starts doing things it should be doing. If the government lets it, the problem is the government never does let it, but that's what would happen if the government let the economy recover.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lung. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
Thousands of people seeking home security get ripped off every day, and the home security industry wants you to believe that's your only option. They've got hordes of salesmen out there trying to scare you into signing one of their long-term contracts. You get stuck writing huge checks month after month with no way out. It's robbery by contract, and it can cost you thousands. But there's a better way to protect your home. SimpliSafe Home Security. SimpliSafe has no contracts. None. You'll get award-winning 24/7 protection, security professionals watching over your home, ready to instantly send police to the rescue for just $14.99 per month. That's less than half what most companies charge. Protect your home the smart way. Visit SimpliSafeDefense.com today for an exclusive 10% offer and get a free keychain remote worth $25. Only when you go to SimpliSafeDefense.com. SimpliSafeDefense.com.
Paid monetary spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
I am a 47-year-old female and had a heart attack in 2005. This is Alice from New Jersey. I still get angina, even with four stents. I was taking Nitro two or three times a week. The very first day after taking Heart and Body Extract, the chest pain was gone. Now I don't wear a Nitro patch.
Learn the secrets of an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation at hbextract.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Ricky LeBlanc, admitted in Mass only. Sokolov Law, LLC, Chestnut Hill, Mass. Ken Levin, responsible attorney in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Greg Hobby, New Jersey. The choice of lawyer is an important decision that should not be based solely upon advertisements. While this firm maintains joint responsibility, most cases of this type are referred to other attorneys for principal responsibility. If you know what mesothelioma is, you or someone you love has likely been impacted by this devastating cancer. You may be entitled to compensation. Call Sokolov Law today. 1-800-218-HELP. The only known cause of mesothelioma is asbestos exposure. Thousands of hard-working men and women, including many U.S. veterans and industrial workers, have been diagnosed with mesothelioma because manufacturers knew the dangers but put profits ahead of people. An estimated $30 billion in court-ordered trust has been set aside to pay money to asbestos victims. If you or a loved one has been diagnosed with mesothelioma, call now. You may be entitled to receive compensation without ever going to court or filing a lawsuit. Call for a free legal consultation at 1-800-218-HELP. Help. That's 1-800-218-HELP.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the second hour of the weekend edition of the Cortland Economics Report, I am joined right now by a regular guest on our show, Mr. Dan Kurz. Dan, I wanted to start off by talking about what's happening over in Europe. The tail end of last week, I was over in Germany, actually over there at Oktoberfest, and I was keeping an eye out to see what the attitude was like, just kind of in general with this whole new immigration aspect. And quite frankly, I didn't really see much of a change from the other times that I've been over to Germany, but that being said, I was in a very isolated area. Let's get some of your comments on just what you're thinking is happening, first of all, over in Europe, and we'll take this more domestically afterwards.
Well, Corey, I'm sorry we didn't meet up in Munich. Oktoberfest is a great place to be. I wonder, you know, tongue-in-cheek, whether the fine drinks on offer might not have colored your judgment a little bit about what the overall atmosphere was. I say that jokingly, but in all seriousness, it is a growing concern among the German population, as invited, quote-unquote, 900,000 immigrants, which is a huge percent of a country that's about 80, 90 million population. She's expecting similar things of other European states for humanitarian reasons. We both understand those well, but I think it frankly goes beyond that. There's a lot of economic refugees and people looking to get better social benefits as well. And here you have Europe, which, you know, save for Germany, has been recessionary for a long time. You have gaping deficits. You have high unemployment rates. And you're bringing people in that, in actual fact, really are not going to be assimilating with the European cultures, with Western cultures and traditions, which is going to add another dimension. Off mic, I kidded with you that it's not a joke, actually, that European-based Muslims have made an appeal to the German authorities to strike the Oktoberfest because it doesn't comply with Sharia law. I'd say on balance, I mean, we all know that Europe is hurting economically in terms of deficits. If you add this to countries which already don't have enough jobs for their own people, and throw in the cultural dimension, I think it's going to be an issue. I mean, I don't think, Corey, it's any mistake that the rise of Tea Party-like groups throughout Europe keeps increasing. In Spain, you got the rich Catalonians wanting to secede from Spain. In Scotland, you have another secession referendum. I just talked to a good friend in the UK about that. In Switzerland, you have very important federal election coming up on October 18th. That's going to help determine Parliament's stance as regards holding Swiss sovereignty, federalism, and the rule of law. In a day and age of rising statism, and I'd say unrepresentative rule by Brussels bureaucrats, and also absolutely massive waves of immigration, which might bring us back to the home ground. I mean, you surely know that Texas is in the scopes of the Democrats that want to turn it blue, and then, in essence, make a GOP win at the presidential level impossible. It's interesting that Texas also is fearing the loss of rule of law and federalism. We know it's bringing its gold back. And, in fact, the rumor mill's pretty hot and heavy that Texas or the people that control the power there are reexamining, revisiting, becoming a republic. So I think we got a lot of social, cultural, and economic issues mixing up that are not very positive for the future in terms of economic growth or civil and cultural cohesion.
Well, Dan, I think the scary thing is we only seem to be going further and further down this path. Clearly over in Europe, they are not only having trouble economically, but with all these immigrants coming in, I think that they're in a really tough spot, and it's almost looking like it's going to be a perfect storm in a very negative way for the general population over there and the general economy of Europe. I think that it might actually be a good thing if some of these countries secede, but that being said, it never is initially when that happens. When countries do move away from an overwhelming power that we have seen in Europe, even though it isn't working, there is some pain to be had. And I think the U.S. is where I would like to focus now. You mentioned Texas, but with all this talk about, you know, possibly building a wall on the south, even building a wall up north, and blocking out Canada, I don't particularly see that happening, but this is turning out to be quite a big topic in, well, these elections that are coming down the road here.
I agree. Well, you know, regarding building a wall between Mexico and the United States, I mean, a large part of this, or it was funded for 600-700 miles. And we're not talking about not being receptive to immigrants. Heck, America was built on immigrants, but they used to come because they had something to contribute and not to receive automatic welfare benefits. And there used to be a rather non-political agenda, but we know that nowadays that, I mean, 3 out of 4 people that come from third world countries are going to vote Democrat, and they're promised a lot of goodies. It's the Hart-Celler Act in 1965, the Johnson administration with Ted Kennedy also putting in his impact into this, that changed immigration in the United States away from a system where people were brought in that had skin in the game, could contribute to people that, in essence, would make it more difficult for the country to finance its welfare state. And I think there is a rise of people all over the West that is realizing they're losing their countries. I mean, the West has historically been the most tolerant place. I mean, you build a wall to keep people out that are illegal or threatening or just too poor, you can't afford everybody. You don't build a wall to keep people in. So I think we have a very unique problem, and it isn't being adequately addressed by the very people that control the levers of power. And their number one job is supposed to assure the security and well-being of their population, and they're just failing, and I think on purpose.
How do you think this will impact the financial markets as we move further down this immigration road?
I think we're going to see increasing issues with deficits and debt. I mean, these welfare expenditures. I mean, in Sweden, there are people that you know, they're being moved out of summer homes to make room for immigrants. And everybody has open arm policy for people that are being persecuted, like Christians in the Middle East. If you don't have a border, you're going to flood the system to such a degree with costs and expenses that is a government that you're going to kill the goose that lays the golden egg. In a nutshell, that's the risk, besides the fact that these people are no longer assimilating, but in essence, we're balkanizing as a matter of policy. And this, I think, is going to be a big drag on the economy, on property rights, as people have to give up more of what they earned. In effect, the taxpayer has to fund all this. And I don't think that this is good for economic growth. It's certainly not good for finances. We are already in debt beyond, you know, anything that's reasonable. And I think imbalance is going to weaken the economy. It's going to extend misallocations, and it will force central banks to double down on money printing. And that, I think, will make real money or scarce vital assets even more valuable. That's the allocation upshot from all this.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
The human body is more than 60% water. Your brain and muscles are 75% water. And your blood is 92% water. Water is vital to your body, and alkalizing your water is the key to keep it running at its best. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops keep your entire body healthy, boosts energy, promotes weight loss, and even fights cancer. Call 800-518-7615 or go to AlkaVision.com to find out more. That's ALKAVision.com.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the Sacro Wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the Sacro Wedgie.
Healthy, organic, fresh fish, robust, mouth-watering vegetables, all from your home. It's called aquaponics. This brilliant, self-sustaining protein and veggie system is perfect for year-round growing. Know exactly where your food is coming from. AquaponicsSource.com is the one-stop shop for all your needs. Fish, fish food, plumbing, full systems, classes, and more. Learn to build your own system. Go to AquaponicsSource.com for a free guide to aquaponics. That's AquaponicsSource.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't pick on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes! I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. Here to wrap up the show, we've got a couple of our great guests with us, regulars. We've got Glenn Downs, former chief of staff for Congressman Walter Jones of North Carolina, who is now in Florida. And we also have Chris Temple with us right now, who, of course, everybody knows Chris Temple of the National Investor. We're going to talk a little bit about taxation issues because we think, Corey and I think, these are very, very important issues are going to have a large bearing on, you think it's an election right around the corner. It's actually over a year away. But having said that, Chris, you brought up Donald Trump's tax plan. That's really kind of interesting. You want to elaborate on that a little bit for us?
Well, I'm walking in every single fine point, not the least reason of which is that I don't know every single one of them. But what I found interesting when his tax proposals that he unveiled a few days ago were getting a lot of press time is the fact that Grover Norquist of Americans for Tax Reform, he's kind of the tax guru for the Republican Party. And he was fairly encouraging about his view of this thing. And what I found interesting, when you look at these different concepts, and Trump, of course, has talked almost all in concepts, and it's been hard-pressed to come up with any concrete proposals, aside from finally this tax plan he came out with the other day. But what I found interesting, Al, is that he's actually hitting some spots where if he were to get his way, would provide some bona fide help for the unemployed for the economy, and arguably, I think, even for our fiscal situation, without us always having to depend on, gee, is the Fed going to print more money so we can have a better economy? He talked about the gobs of money that still is offshore, that he claims he's tried to bring some money back to the U.S. and can't. I don't know if that's more hyperbole than fact, but we all know that there is between $2 and $3 trillion of cash owned by corporate America sitting overseas because of the high rate of corporate taxation in this country. And there has been more than one attempt in the last few years. Glenn could probably speak to the specifics, where Republicans and Democrats alike have sponsored bills to have, you know, a one-time tax holiday. I think one of them was with Rand Paul and Barbara Boxer, where they were going to have, you know, a high single-digit tax rate instead of the 35% rate if you brought that money home. That would be money that would go back to replenish the Highway Trust Fund and otherwise help rebuild crumbling infrastructure. And it would be a far more legitimate boost to the economy than, again, worrying about the Fed print more money. So I think that this is something that those out there who are active politically should get behind a guy like this or anyone who is talking about such proposals.
Now, guys, I looked into some of Trump's tax plan, obviously, same as you, Chris, hard to get into everything. Plus, being Canadian, there are some differences between our taxes. But he definitely did have some good ideas, and he definitely had some ideas that are being refuted in the public, or at least in the media, which I guess you're always going to get with a tax plan. But some of the simplifying of the tax brackets, as well as you mentioned, trying to bring back some of this money in corporations that is offshore, does seem like good ideas. Overall, though, it did look like there was a bit of a shortfall in terms of money coming in compared to the amount of money that is being spent out there, which I don't really know if there is an easy answer to this. So, Glenn, my question to you is, how important are these tax plans that these politicians come out with when they are running for office? Because it seems to me like they never actually really get to be enacted.
Well, Corey, I think that they are important, and they're important because there's a general consensus, at least on the corporate tax side, that the United States tax system is completely dysfunctional, and it's amongst the highest marginal rates in the entire world. So whatever else you think about corporations, you're going, that's why you see these people, these various corporations, earning money in off, and housing it in offshore subsidiaries that Chris referenced, that their the Trump tax plan addresses that notion of bringing some of that money back home. And I think, by the way, I think Chris is exactly right. The most likely scenario, at least in the short run, and if this Trump tax plan stimulates discussion in this current Congress along those lines, that's probably where the money would go. That there is the Highway Trust Fund is flat broke. It's flat broke. And so now it's on a borrow from Peter to pay Paul kind of basis, where you're just almost relying upon just the gas tax revenue that's coming in, and that's not enough to fund the projects that people have in the pipeline. So there's a real willingness amongst Republicans to want to lower tax rates to bring that money back home for ideological and reasons of wanting to help some of their constituency, but also, you know, Democrats really like those road projects, and people generally like them. So that's the most likely scenario, I think, in terms of stimulating action in this Congress. But everybody thinks that the current tax code is just not working, and something needs to be done. So I think Trump's to be admired for putting this very detailed plan on the table. It reminds me of his immigration plan. We came out, started off talking in very real general terms about illegal immigration and building a border wall or a border fence and those kinds of things. And then he got together with Senator Jeff Sessions and others, and then they fleshed out a really detailed, very workable plan, and shut up at least a lot of their opponents who said Trump's talking in generalities and no specifics. And now they've done the same thing, it looks to me, in the tax side. And so I think he's to be applauded.
I would have to agree because, you know, based on what I heard you say, Chris, and based on what I know about what the Donald has said, it really does make a lot of sense. I guess one of the questions I have is he is making one point loud and clear, and that point that he's making is purely and simply the ship is sinking and we have to fix it, and I believe I'm the man to fix it. Unfortunately, 60% of the country, because of his demeanor, I believe, more than anything else, do not agree with him, but he's, you know, his point about taxes is just exactly spot on. I mean, we cannot simply continue to print money, and it, you know, the only way we can get away from that is to make some major changes in the tax taxation. I don't want to say the tax code, but I guess I probably would say the tax code, among other things.
Well, the tax code, let's all be honest, and I think that Trump is one of those who has helped to reveal this more and more. It is there not to raise revenue as much as it is there as a political weapon, a means for members of Congress and other powerful people to work together. I mean, heck, there have been documented numerous instances of if you've got enough money and power, you can get a tax provision written into the tax code, naming specifically Al Corlin. You know, that's a break that somebody else wouldn't have. It's the worst example of crony capitalism. It's one of the least efficient means of tax collection you can have. But it's there, so if somebody gets their nose out of joint, you can be indicted for something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's all be honest about this. You know, there are many more efficient ways to raise revenue. People have talked about this for years. They get into office, nothing happens. But I think the country is finally getting tired enough of this top-down, wasteful bureaucracy that, you know, Ross Perot talked about a lot of these things, nothing happened. Ronald Reagan, before him, talked about simplifying things and limiting the size of the government. The size of the government exploded under Ronald Reagan. Maybe this guy is going to help to change the tone. We'll see.
Glenn, are we on the right path with these proposed tax changes that seem to be at least being released or proposed on a pretty regular basis now?
Well, I think it's a great idea to be talking about these, and there's some really solid proposals in there. But what everyone's looking for is a magic bullet that's going to fix 30 or 40 years of wildly accumulated debt at all levels, public, private, corporate, personal, student loan, those sort of, and what's it going to take to stimulate growth to sort of grow our way out of these debts? And I just don't think that that's likely to happen. But the last point I'd make on this to wrap it up on Trump, and I get what you're saying, Big Al, about the unfavorable ratings of a Trump. But the fact is that if the economy really takes a nosedive between now and the election day, there are a lot of candidates that people might not consider today, but they might consider very seriously at that point in time.
Everybody stick around. We're going to continue our discussion with Glenn and Chris.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Okay, open your mouth and say, aw.
Aw.
When your child has a sore throat, you need to know when to get help. The doctor-recommended Say-Aw Sore Throat Exam is your solution. The scientifically designed oral retractor offers a clear view of the throat, relaxing the tongue, and minimizing gag reflex. Compare with a medical-grade chart, website, and app. Then you'll know just what to tell your doctor. A wellness plan in your hands in minutes. Go to sayahahnow.com. Sayahnow.com. The new mainstay for every family's first aid kit.
Atmospheric aluminum, mercury exposure, estrogen toxins from plastics, microwaves from cell phones and smart meters, and low-quality foods all combine to create conditions for the very high incidence of disease in our society. Now more than ever, we all need to be consuming those foods and herbs that epigenetically signal the cells of our body to produce energy, create proteins, and detoxify. When we properly support our bodies, then even in these toxic times, we can promote and achieve excellent health. One World Whey is the first energetically encoded whey protein food derived from Amish pastured cows on the U.S. market. After 3.5 years, we've heard miracles occur for so many people. One World Whey has a track record of promoting detoxification, improvement in elimination, and improvements in energy, skin quality, and elimination of inflammation. One World Whey is formulated to mirror the macronutrient ratios found in mother's milk. Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Sam Nussbaum with the Anthem Foundation. Premature birth is the leading cause of death of babies and disabilities for children. That's why we support the March of Dimes to help mothers have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Join us in supporting cutting-edge research, treatment and outreach to help moms during their pregnancy and give every baby a healthy start in life. Learn how you can help at marchofdimes.org.
Hey, Berkey Guy here. Are you still drinking unfiltered tap water? Does your water contain chlorine or fluoride? Will you have drinkable water in an emergency? The Berkey Guy is here to help you remove these and other potential contaminants from your water, thus helping you drink clean, purified water. We offer Berkey water purification systems at the lowest available prices online. Don't go another moment without Berkey system. Over the last 10 years, we've helped thousands drink clean, purified water. Join them by visiting goberkey.com or call me, the Berkey Guy, at 877-886-3653. That's 877-886-3653.
My name is Bill Bonner, and I'm the president of the largest private news and research network in the world. And I paid for this airtime because I have an important message to the American people. There's a change coming that the government isn't telling you about. This change has deep implications for life in America, from where you shop to the doctors you visit and the family you want to protect. Look, I've made predictions like this before. Thing is, I was right then, too. A few years ago, I warned that housing prices would collapse. They did. Before that, I warned that dot-com companies would crash. They did. Those who listened had a chance to save themselves. But this has nothing to do with the stock market. This will affect us all.
You can watch the video for free right now by going to disappearingdollar.com. Again, that's disappearingdollar.com.
If you're like me, you're concerned about the stock market and the economy. You're asking the questions, but it just doesn't seem that you're getting the right answers. Well, my friends at the Wealth Preservation Institute not only have the answers, but they put together a free report, How to Survive the Upcoming Economic Collapse and Protect Your 401ks, IRA Savings, and Retirement Income. Don't hesitate. This report's for free for a limited time by calling 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. Take back your financial lives today.
Back here to wrap up the weekend edition. Corey and I are chatting right now with Chris Temple and Glenn Downs. We're going to end up the show as we typically do on a political note. I have an interesting question for you, Glenn, and also for you, Chris, and that is, right now, the only thing the Republican Party has going for it, and if you even want to call it that, going for it, is Donald Trump. Now, Mr. Trump is, he does have a 30% approval rating. When you look at some polls, they're certainly not nationwide polls, but let's say, you know, his lead in the Republican polls, et cetera, et cetera. But the fact of the matter is right now, 60% of the nation is not crazy about this guy, okay? And I think one of the reasons they're not crazy about this guy, as I mentioned in the last segment, is because he is a little abrasive. And that's something that you cannot deny that. Now, his heart may be in the right place, but he is a little bit abrasive. And people don't like to look at the presidents of this country as being abrasive individuals. Now, I would maintain that at this point in time, and we are admittedly 13 months away from the election, okay? Having said that, I would say at this point in time that the ticket that probably would have the best chance, and I don't want our bloggers, our family members, I should say, to try to blow up my house because everybody probably knows where I live, but I think a Biden-Warren ticket would probably not be a bad idea. I think that would take Mrs. Clinton out of the picture. I do not trust Mrs. Clinton based on what I've read. And some of the material that I have read, she has written herself. I don't trust the woman. And I really don't think the Republicans have really much of anybody right now. I mean, Ben Carson is certainly an exemplary individual. There's no question about that. He would make a great vice president. Okay, in terms of Carly Fiorina, I don't know. I was pretty impressed with her at first. Then you look at her business experiences and you have to say, well, if she did that as the president, it probably wouldn't be the greatest thing in the world. That would be the biggest thing that she would have to defend. Although I do find it interesting that what she accomplished at HP was probably similar to what Donald Trump accomplished at the four businesses that he had that he bankrupted. I mean, you know, both of them have made some what I would call non-exemplary business decisions, both of them, and that's very important to realize. Why don't you weigh in first, Glenn, would you?
Well, I think, Al, the important thing at this stage, and it's obviously there's still quite a ways to go before the general election, but it's their first votes in the Republican primary process and the Democratic primary process are rapidly approaching that. We're only a quarter or so away from the beginning of that, and we're really in earnest. The thing to notice is of the top, currently as we speak, the top three candidates in the Republican field are all people who do not hold elective office and have never held elective office. So that tells you something about the mood of the country, separate and apart from Donald Trump as an individual. And I think it's also telling that the polls in New Hampshire and in Iowa show Bernie Sanders ahead of Mrs. Clinton, and Joe Biden, who's not even running, would be instantly a formidable challenger to her. So people are just not happy with the status quo. So in that environment, and if the hinge really comes off the door economically or dealing with issues of valence issues like war and peace going forward, suddenly somebody that they might find to be a little gruff or a little bit ham-handed in the way he does things might seem like exactly what we need, as opposed to somebody who's going to pussyfoot around and do something that basically the way we've always done it in the face of clear evidence that what we've been doing just isn't working. So there's still a lot of time to go on this.
Chris, let's follow along this line and touch on something that Glenn first mentioned there, and that is the variety of backgrounds that at least the Republican candidates have in them. We have a doctor in Dr. Ben Carson, we have a businessman in Trump, and then we have a couple politicians in the ring. How important do you think the background is on these candidates, and which backgrounds do you think would be best to lead the country?
Well, it is important. I won't repeat what Glenn said. He said it very eloquently. The American people simply want change. If the Democrat establishment tells you that they want Hillary Clinton, the people won't want her. If the Republican establishment tells you they want Jeb Bush, the voters won't respond. I don't know a single person, despite what Bush's poll numbers are, that says they support Jeb Bush. And again, as Glenn also said, the people want someone who's a straight talker and gruff, and they actually respect that. Not someone who comes out with sanitized talking points and tells you what you want to hear and is inoffensive, but someone who tells it like it is. That's why Bernie Sanders, agree or disagree with him, he has that edge. He has that anger that he is channeling from millions and millions of Americans. Let me add one thing, though, to what Glenn said. You will know, you will find out if Trump stays up leading the polls and has any chance of being the ultimate Republican nominee, it will be because he changes his tune on foreign policy. Right now, he is saying the right things, pointing out how this country, during the last two administrations, especially back to Bush's, made such hash out of the Middle East, particularly, that now Vladimir Putin has to go in and clean it up. And he is one who has correctly said, God bless Russia for going in and cleaning up the mess that this country created. If you hear him all of a sudden change that tune and repeat the neocon line that, we got to take back control of the world, we can't let Russia run roughshod and this kind of thing. If he starts talking like, Carly Fiorina sounded like a neocon imbecile.
Yes, she did. I agree.
But if he starts talking like that, he'll be the nominee because you'll know that he has now been anointed from on high.
I have to agree completely with what you said. I watched that last debate, all 3 hours of it, start to finish, and I have to tell you, Carly Fiorina is an impressive woman. There's no question about that. She's very self-assured. She seems to have all of her facts in order, et cetera, et cetera. But yes, to say that she kind of sounds like a neocon, no, she doesn't kind of sound like a neocon. She kind of sounds like Dick Cheney. I mean, there's no question about that. And I agree 100% with you, Chris, that as long as the Donald doesn't go along those lines, who knows? People may very well get into that camp. I mean, when you support Bernie Sanders, you got to realize you're supporting a socialist. I mean, that is how, I'm not saying he's a bad man, I'm just saying you know right away that you're supporting a socialist. That's how disgusted the electorate have gotten to be. They're willing to strongly consider somebody like that. And that is very, in my opinion, anti-American. Any comments, you guys?
Well, when you support Jeb Bush, you're supporting a socialist. The recipient is different. That's all.
Yeah. Well, no question about it. That right now, an awful lot of what passes for business activity in this country is really just what economists call rent seeking. You're getting some sort of a favorable preferential treatment from government. You're getting monopoly status from government. You're getting contracts from government. And unfortunately, a lot of the instrumentalities of government have been deeply captured by the people who are the beneficiaries of that kind of largesse or that kind of favoritism. So what Chris is calling neoconservatism, as least it relates to foreign policy, has really become the foreign policy establishment of the United States. That is why you can have a Barack Obama run for a presidency in 2008, saying everything he said, winning the Nobel Peace Prize, and he's bombed more countries and drone strike more countries and started more color revolutions, because I'm not sure how much of control he really has of the foreign policy establishment underneath him. When you have, you guys mentioned the situation in Syria and Putin kind of clean up what he perceives, or at least is labeling a mess created by the United States. The woman who's famously was involved in something similar in the Ukraine instead of blowing that situation up was the wife, a woman named Victoria Nuland, Assistant Secretary of State for European Affairs under Barack Obama, is the wife of a guy named Robert Kagan, who was a part of this project for the new American century that was calling for a new Pearl Harbor in advance of 9/11. It was an advisor to George W. Bush. This is who's running the foreign policy establishment of this country on both sides of the aisle currently.
Scary, scary, scary. I guess I want to throw in one thing. You know, one thing that Kathy says more often than not is she said, you know, it's not really important. We don't have much really a meaningful say in the presidency. And I just want to interject right now that I disagree with that to an extent. But she says, you know, well, we need to get involved in local politics. We need to get involved in state politics, and we need to get to know our representatives, et cetera, on the national level. And I would maintain that right now our country, our government has evolved to the point where at least during the last administration, I don't think that's really the case. Obama has gotten a lot of stuff through that, in my opinion, he should not have gotten through. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed the show this week.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guest by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
You pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out...
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason! Going once, twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait.
No!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNlive.com.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.